When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we will drink a toast in the weekend that is Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Damn. How we celebrate dead air on a Bad Choice Friday as we had some based on everything being knocked out, including, you know, the airline industry, banks, hospitals, and everything else. We were included in that, so we figured, why not a little bit of LL Cool J?
I'm gonna knock you out.
Oh. Whoopsie. Sorry. Technical malfunction there. That was the Death Punch version.
Yeah. A little different.
Jesus.
Hello, Cool J. A mama said knock you out. Take it on Jay-Z on a Bad Choice Friday.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
There we go.
Oh, Mike. All
right. Let's go, Mike.
I spent 20 minutes doing this.
Okay.
I'm adding the pictures back.
Yeah. Of all the problems, our fine engineers got everything taken care of. We are back on the air. So is it going to be LL Cool J? Mama said knock you out or Jay-Z and 99 problems. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink a toast with a shot of the day. All right, our question based on experience, what do you know now not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the Men's Room.
John?
Yes.
That's John. I'm
John.
Here.
Hola.
Hola, amigos.
Hola.
First off, I want to tell you guys that I miss you guys on Red Fest.
Well, that's right. We're doing the Men's Room World Tour now, man. More opportunities to come hang out.
I know. And I am the future brother-in-law to Ted. You started this, I guess. Big hands, Julie.
Oh, the future brother-in-law. Oh, no. Big hands, Julie.
Wow. God damn it.
Make sure you give her a high five when you see her.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to get one of them Mickey Mouse hands and do that to her.
Yeah.
So is your brother dating Julie?
Yes. Matt.
Is he a nice guy or a violent guy?
Ted's worried about getting his ass kicked.
Well, that's what the thing is. So my experience, we were latchkey kids. Both my parents worked, and we were by ourselves most of the time. So when we weren't trying to kill each other, we were trying to kill other kids. And so when I joined the Army, I joined in the 317th Infantry, which was Ronald Reagan's brainchild for we could go around the world in 24 hours carrying everything we need for 7 days.
Okay.
And so I ended up in Korea a couple years later. And so we were tromping around out there in the snow in Korea and freezing our asses off. And the ROK Army trains 24 hours a day. And these guys were out in t-shirt, underwear, and flip-flops. And they're doing their karate or taekwondo or whatever they do. And I was like, man, I think I can take one of them guys. So they had an open trial thing. And I'm only 23 at that time. Now I'm 59. So I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't even think about it now. But went out there, and me and about 9 other guys, we volunteered to be their dummies. I'll tell you what, these guys rocked our world. And I was like, and after that, I volunteered to learn what they do. And holy crap, them guys kept kicking our ass for like, I want to say the almost 2 years I was there.
Yeah, so don't mess with a Korean dude in underwear and flip-flops.
Practicing in the snow.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, the Rock Army is nothing to mess with. I mean, the guys that can't make it, they send them to the U.S. Army for CATUSAs, which means translator.
Oh, okay, all right.
And them guys are just there to drink and party with the U.S. military, basically.
Okay.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than your situation.
Right.
That's the way I see it. Do you want to go drink with the Americans, or do you want to get your ass kicked by a scantily clad Korean man in the snow?
I'll trigger the Americans.
I am drinking.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK. Here are a couple more. People in the middle of a road rage incident. It is amazing how a grown adult can absolutely lose their mind when inside a vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
So do not deal. Do not flip people off. Do not act like you wanted to get into a fight. You don't know what people are capable of when they're in a car. It's a different scenario.
Or what they're carrying. That's my thing. Yeah. And as far as that goes, like, if you're trying to break up a fight, like, if two dudes are fighting, you might take a blow or two trying to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
If two girls are fighting, let them finish.
Sure.
Because they don't stop. It just doesn't end. And now you've become the enemy. And sometimes, like, both of them turn on you. Like, whoa, I'm just here to be the good guy. They claw your face, pull your hair. Chicks are weird with them.
And all these deal with fighting as far as what to know not to F with. Anyone with cauliflower ears. Yep. I think everyone kind of knows that one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not everybody. And I've told the story before. My buddy Chuck, and he's just one of those guys. I do not know why. He didn't really have any problems in life that he did not self-create, but he would always try to stir up stuff. So whatever, it's just what Chuck did. So we're at the bar. Most of the people are regulars. There's two guys we don't recognize, but they're not really interacting with anyone other than each other. They're having a private conversation about whatever they're talking about. It's no big deal. But as one of the guys is trying to think of something or remember something, a lot of times when you have to search your mind, you just kind of stare at something until the answer comes. So in this case, the guy just happened to be staring in Chuck's direction. He was not staring at Chuck. I can confirm this. But he looked in his direction. Chuck decided, of course, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pretend this guy is trying to stare me down. So Chuck goes over to this guy. You're staring at me for, right? Because that's how he's going to roll. The guy's like, dude, if I was staring at you, my apologies. Just trying to think of something. No big deal, right? Water under the bridge. Not a bit. Chuck's not going to let this go. Wow. Keeps going back and forth. Right? And the guy is staying dead calm the whole time. Chuck, and the arms are flailing. Everyone's looking, which is what Chuck wants. And then Chuck puts his hand on the guy's shoulder. And the guy goes, look, I will buy you a beer, but do me a favor. Do not put your hands on me again. So Chuck does the, with his pointer, pokes him twice on the shoulder, does the, or what? So the guy stands up. And meanwhile, the guy's buddy's still sitting there. He's already shaking his head kind of slowly back and forth like, your buddy doesn't want any part of this. Well, we don't know the guys. And look, I'm not involved. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So Chuck takes a swing at the guy, misses. Right? The guy just kind of leans back. This guy, and I love what my buddy Hollywood described this later, but this guy punches Chuck in the stomach, okay? And I've never seen someone throw a punch so fast, so hard, and so on target in my life. And my buddy Hollywood said, man, I swear to God, Chuck's forehead touched his toes on the other guy at the side of this guy's elbow. And then we called him the Transformer because he buckled down into a shape that was no longer human, and he's crumpled on the floor. Guy kind of apologized for effing up. It's the only punch I was thrown into this whole fight, by the way. It's not even a fight, just this guy getting Chuck away from him. We didn't feel bad. We're kind of chuckling. So the dude's buddy looks over at us. You know this guy. We say, yeah, we know, man. That's how he acts. He got what he was looking for. As Ted would say, he got the ass whipping he was looking for.
Right.
We found out the guy that he was messing with, amateur boxer. And after they mentioned he's an amateur boxer, we looked at his ears, and I'm like, yeah, Chuck, you need to look at this stuff. There's a clear sign that this guy is taking a beating and can handle it. This guy ruined Chuck's world, man. I mean, it was bad, bad.
Yeah. I would also say, just like, look, if you go to an MMA event anywhere, whether it's Emerald Queen Casino or in Vegas, don't pick a fight with anybody on that weekend if they're in the remote vicinity
yeah, I agree.
Of that venue. You don't know if they're going, they're going to kick your ass. Even if they're there to just watch it, they're going to kick your ass. They can. I mean, just watch what you say. This one says, just don't fight in general. You never know who's carrying a knife or a gun until it's too late. Life is not a fight scene in a movie. It is 10 times worse. This one says, if you're traveling, never F with the locals. I've seen people pick fights with one of the locals, and 10 of his buddies just come out of nowhere and just absolutely stomp him.
Yeah. I mean, you're on their turf, man. Inevitably, things are probably going to go their way. They're going to have more backup than you will.
Yeah. I would just say, in general, if you are traveling, the best thing that you can do is be polite and nice to everybody.
Sure.
Because you just don't know. Another simple one. Do not mess with electricity.
I do not. I won't even. And look, you know, a lot of electricians will be like, dude, once you get it, it's real simple. I'm like, yeah, but I don't get it. So it is not simple, but it can kill me. You will get the call from me. Plumbing and electricity.
And if you're going to do it, use a pen light.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if you're electricians use them all the time. Like, see if the current is flowing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Construction sites. One of the most dangerous places to be. So you have to be paying attention all the time on the site. If not, bad things can happen to you.
Also, I had a buddy. He's done big construction for years, right?
Yeah.
Like, when they tell you not to be on that side of the street, do it.
They mean it.
Right, because like, they have the signs up and everything else, and he's like, I've seen stuff fall off the site and hit people, and just then they, you know, they're like, we're going to sue you. It's like, well, you're not supposed to be here.
We told you not to be there. We posted signs that say, don't be there. Mm-hmm. You didn't listen. I mean, at that point, I go, it's on you, man.
Yes. Story says the average temperature in Silex Spring is high enough to cause severe burns within a second of contact. A tourist visiting Yellowstone National Park has been caught on camera leaning over to touch one of the hottest thermal springs in the fountain paint pot area.
Really?
After ignoring warnings from visitors on the boardwalk by Silex Spring, she appeared to scald herself, jumping back and complaining that the water is really hot.
Oh.
The average water temperature in that spring is 174 degrees Fahrenheit. According to an article published in the Journal of Burn Care Research, exposure to hot water at 140 can lead to a serious burn within 3 seconds.
Does she think it's like a doggone whale where it just spews up from nothing? What do you think is pushing that water up?
I'm convinced that to visit Yellowstone, you have to fill out paperwork that proves that your IQ is under Forrest Gump's.
So getting close to this particular spring is incredibly dangerous. An accidental slip could have been fatal. The incident was recorded by another park visitor, and he shared on his Instagram account, Taurus or Taurons of Yellowstone, which calls out examples of bad behavior at U.S. parks. I told him it was a bad idea and they should not get off the boardwalk. Her response and his response was, whatever, man. So I just hit record. People suffered.
They said whatever, so I hit record. I'm getting something good.
Hot springs, by the way, have injured or killed more people in Yellowstone than any other natural feature, according to the National Park Service, which also warns visitors to never touch thermal pools or runoff. Swimming or soaking in hot springs is prohibited. More than 20 people have died from burns suffered after they enter or fell into Yellowstone's hot springs, and they're basically just gone.
Well, they said part of it, too, I guess, where these hot springs are, they say the ground around it gets kind of brittle. Sure. So in some cases, it's not that anyone did anything wrong. They're walking along the boardwalk, and it's been rotting from underneath. They don't know, but once they go in, like, you don't see them again. It's not like they recover a body. They recover a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other times where, so a lot of the things at Yellowstone, and we've all seen the videos, people get out of the car or they walk up to the bison, they pet it. The bison does what we know them to do, which is get the F away from me, right?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I believe that people put themselves in a circumstance where maybe you're not normally an idiot, but something else has happened where you kind of forget where you are. And Miles, you showed me this video a couple of months ago. And there is a couple, they are in a safari park in their car, one of those drive-through deals. No big deal. Most people know not to get out of the car. Well, clearly, the couple in this particular video was having an argument. So you see the woman get out of the car. She's obviously pissed off, slams the door, and folds her arms, right? That telltale sign that says, I'm mad at my husband. Well, right? So then the husband gets out of the car trying to console his wife or continue the argument. We don't know. There was no audio. But as she's standing there being defiant, a leopard appears, snatches this bitch by the back of her neck, and she disappears from the frame. I mean, she is gone. And I'm thinking, okay, if you were not having this argument, I don't think she'd have gotten out of the car, but she pulled that move, or I will get out of this car right now. Mm-hmm. And you go, baby, listen, I'm not trying to ruin your anger moment, but there are wild animals out there. And we're in a safari park. We came here because they are close to the vehicle. But she got out being mad. I'm pretty sure she's dead. Right. But, I mean, she got snatched to hell out of frame. And this is a leopard, not a full-grown lion. And it is amazing how strong they are. Because this thing grabs her. And I mean, she's off her feet. And this thing just leaps back into the foliage. And I'm like, and then the husband, it's kind of funny, because when the leopard first pops up, first thing he does is jump back. But then his wife gets snatched. Then he takes a step forward like he's going to save her.
What are you going to do?
And that seemed to be, that's where the video cuts out. Clearly, he's like, well, I can't really do anything. I think I should get back in the car, which I think is the right move.
It is. I do remember one from growing up, and this was because when I was in middle school, junior high age, one of the more popular kids who was a high school athlete, I believe he was like a three-sport athlete, that whole deal, always in the paper, star of the basketball team, all those things. He drove the coolest car. I think he drove an IROC Z at the time, which, you know, shockingly enough, was
that was huge, man.
Attracted women. And
T-tops.
It was cool as hell. He was that guy, and he jumped into Chi Lake. He dove in. And where he dove in, there was a rock about 6 inches below the water.
Oh, no.
And he was paralyzed from the neck down. And this was like the guy. He was a good-looking guy. He was all those things. So the rule was never dive into a body of water that you haven't already waded in and understand what's down there.
Sure. Correct.
As far as any open body of water, do not dive into a pool when it says no diving. There's a reason.
Don't dive into the shallow end.
Yes. Even if you're at you're swimming at South Lake Union, you're swimming at Lake Washington, do not. There could be a log under there. There could be a rock under there. There could be a lot of things under there. You wade out and check the area first. And if you feel like you want to dive later, that's fine. But do not just dive into a body of water, even if you are on a dock where you do not know what is below.
I did it last year over in Polson, Montana. Right? Like, the water level was clearly down from the year before.
Right.
So, like, I'm at the end of the dock. I'm like, I don't know how deep that is. Right? But you can, I knew it was deep enough, but there's, you can kind of jump and almost, like, curve.
Okay.
Right? So I wasn't going to hit my legs. But somebody was, I was like, you can jump if you kind of curve a little bit and your butt will hit. But I was like, do not dive off this dock.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be paralyzed if you dive off
the dock. Especially when the water level's down. And one thing I read a lot this year, in places across the country where people are used to swimming and diving and doing all those things, because the water level had gone down so much from all the droughts, I know it's not top of mind when they do it, but they realize, like, man, you've lost like 9 feet of water. So all these things that had otherwise just been deep under there are now a lot closer to the surface. And there's a lot of kids especially, man, just taking themselves out on that.
Yeah.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KAISW and KISWHD1 Seattle. The Rock. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Coming up, the return of Ted versus the FCC right after emails on our question based on experience. What do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK. Here's one thing I know not to F with. Anything that's used with wood.
So it could be like a table saw, a bandsaw,
right,
a zigsaw, a wood chipper, even an axe, a wood splitter. Anything where you need to work, where you work on wood, has a potential to be dangerous. My shop teacher in junior high school had one missing finger and the top part of another finger gone, but he had been there teaching for 35 years. And you asked him, how did you lose your fingers? And he would always say, teaching you effing morons.
Our question based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Beers and brats.
Hola.
What's up, gentlemen?
How are you?
Good, good. Just finally finishing up this Friday.
Nice.
So, service plumber pretty much my entire adult life. I don't know if you guys were here back in like 05.
We were
around there.
Yeah, we were. That's when we got here.
Okay. Do you remember in the wintertime when we had that big ice and winter windstorm?
We do. Yeah.
Okay, so I get a call to go replace a water heater, and I get to the guy's house, and there was tree branches all over the place. I get down, drain out the heater. I kept trying to test the power, and it was still live. So I told the guy, I was like, hey, man, I got to turn your main breaker off. Something's going on with this. He goes, yeah, yeah, that's fine. So I kick the main breaker off of the house, go down in his basement, start replacing the water heater, get the job completely finished, and go to reach back to grab the power cord. And that's about all she wrote. I don't remember anything for like 5 minutes. Ooh. Come to find out, a tree branch had fallen on his drop to the house and arced his panel with 440 volts unfused, basically just the power coming off the transformer. Ooh. And yeah, I ended up becoming that open circuit. Luckily, I didn't grab it. It hit the back of my hand. But when PSC came out to test it, the guy just turned ghost white. And he's like, yeah, dude, you got very, very lucky. So ever since then, I don't like messing with power. We leave it to the spark.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Electricity is not to be messed with, man.
No, not at all.
You lost a coworker back in the day?
But in this case, we didn't think it was necessarily anything particularly dangerous. He's changing a fluorescent light bulb above the dishwashing table, as it were. But it's an aluminum table, and the table's always wet because you're kind of washing dishes there. But, dude, this is a Chi-Chi's. So he stood on top of the wet aluminum table, and he's just reaching up to change the fluorescent bulb. There had to be a short or whatever, but either way, dude dropped dead at work changing a light bulb at Chi-Chi's. And I don't know that there's a more degrading way to go, but to Chi-Chi's credit, oh, we kept the restaurant open. They kept serving.
Yep. Dude, I had a buddy in high school. His brother was working at like at Circuit City or something.
All right.
He's vacuuming at the end of the night. Somebody had spilled something. There's a giant wet spot. Electrocutes him and dies.
Damn, man.
Golly.
Yeah.
Now, that always freaked me out as a kid. My parents are very clear about that. If it is wet, do not get the vacuum anywhere
near. Do not vacuum it.
Yep.
Here is the story of professional diver Rhiannon Ifland. She is not being used to told what she can't do, especially when it's something. In fact, the Australian springboard diver, a proud 7-time consecutive Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series champion,
damn,
she has made a living from telling other women and girls not to let anyone or anything stand in the way of their ambition. Such was her mindset earlier this month when, during a holiday to Austria, she visited a popular water park, Area 47, which houses a slide that women are barred from going down. The daredevil sportswoman decided to take a chance on the terrifying attraction, hoping to get to the bottom of why the seemingly sexist restriction had been put into place. It was then she learned the stomach-wrenching truth behind the matter. According to the National Library of Medicine in the United States, women can sustain horrific injuries if high-pressure water enters their body, while there is also a risk of infections due to the foreign bodies found in the water. It turns out in recent years, there have been reports of women having their insides ripped apart by high-speed water slides.
Yep.
But for her, she'd previously come across water slide restrictions centering on weight and height, believing the restriction on women alone was rather inconspicuous. She later told the press that nothing about this particular slide seemed especially dangerous, apart from the fact that at both speeds of up to 50 miles an hour. So initially, hoping to inspire others not to be held back, she filmed the entire ride so she could later upload it to social media. Seconds into her flight, she was made to immediately regret her decision, and in the video could be heard letting out a chilling scream. Upon clambering off the slide, she later told press she immediately knew she'd effed up. It was never my intent to mock the safety regulation of this water slide, she insisted in a conversation with a news agency. A person's safety is paramount, and I'm constantly weighing up any danger with my job. To suggest otherwise is wrong. Despite her admission, when sharing the clip to social media, she seemed to have remained lighthearted about the whole ordeal. Here for a good time, not a long time, another YOLO moment, as apparently she had a bit of a front enema, so to speak.
I mean, look, I get her position. I absolutely do. Like, what do you mean women can't do this? I'm a professional cliff jumper for a freaking Red Bull. And then you find out why. So what I would say to Austria is maybe just add a note, like, because you have vaginas that will be ripped apart. Right? Then I think most women will look at that and be like, yeah, I don't want that to happen. I won't do it. So I get her perspective. Like, F you guys. Yeah, I mean, men right, only.
Exactly.
Like she said, as soon as she started going down, she's like, oh, no.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Pacholas.
Hola.
Well, about 12 years ago, I realized you don't want to mess around with trees when you're snowboarding.
Okay.
All right.
So I was snowboarding up at Stevens Pass, and I was riding through some trees, and got a little squirrely and kind of everything. Don't really remember everything, but luckily my buddy is with me. And I was laying in between two trees, rolled me over, started puking. I had hit one tree with my head, knocked me clean out, hit the other one with my left hip, and sheared the ball of my left femur off.
God damn, man.
How fast were you going?
Yeah. I couldn't even tell you.
I think the answer is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, I was being stupid, but yeah, no, they rushed me down to Monroe, which they almost killed me there because my they were giving me too much too many pain pills. So I got a rod down the center, rod up through the side, and still snowboarding to this day. So
Were you being reckless and stupid, or did it just things just didn't work out in your favor that day?
Yeah, things just didn't work out in my favor that day.
So when you snowboard do you kind of do a tree count to make a note of where they are, or are you past that?
Get back on the horse, just get in there and have fun, man. You know, it's
why are the trees so much better, just based on the slalom aspect of it?
Just gets the heart pumping. Plus, you know, when you got some good snow, there's not a lot of people going in the trees. Everybody tries to, you know, enjoy the open area.
What about just the idea of falling into a tree? Well, not even hitting the tree,
right?
Is that more dangerous?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. You know, there for a while, I actually did snowmobiling, and you know, you get a real appreciation for Mother Nature and what the snow can do in those conditions. I lost a couple people to snowmobiling, and they were really good, real smart, but sometimes just not your day, and your ticket has been punched, you know.
What happened in their case? Did they hit a tree? Did they go into the well, or what?
Avalanches.
Oh, damn.
Avalanches, yeah. I would also warn people, like, if you don't know what you're doing, don't go up to runs you can't handle.
Absolutely, man. The Instagram and lures that go out and get wild and go and wander and all that, man, it's like so many people go out there not knowing what they're doing, wearing tennis shoes and jeans, or, you know, just completely unprepared for it.
I believe it. Yeah. We used to know a guy in the older building, and he would vacation either Idaho or Montana. I can't remember where he used to go. Remember the real big guy?
Big guy.
And he, you know, we didn't see him for a while, and then one of the security guards of the old building said, yeah, man, he passed on.
Oh, God, yeah, I do remember that guy.
Whatever happened, I don't remember the exact scenario, but he got into an accident, and, you know, he didn't work in the building anymore. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Devin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitcholas.
Hola.
Well, I can tell you don't mess with bears.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I was on a bit of an adventure in a part of the world we don't really need to discuss with a good friend, and we were out doing hunting and outdoor things, and I had an issue with a bear that thought I was going to be dinner.
What kind of bear are we talking about?
Brown.
Okay.
Bears, not like little sissy bears in Washington, little black bears, they're fine. Grizzly bear, brown bear, you know, you don't really want to mess with those.
You're right, and I don't.
You don't. When you've had one at 5 feet turn away from you and come back, that will give you a pucker factor.
I bet.
Is that how close this thing got to you?
First time.
The first time.
What was he like, hunting you down?
Yes, sir.
And did he continue? Did he continue the hunt?
I continued my day. The bear did not.
Yeah, that's the decision you have to make at that point.
It's okay.
But how long did this hunt go on?
It was an excursion, and that was on day one when the encounter happened. It's been a few years now. There's a few people out there that know the whole story.
Okay.
But, I mean, how long was the bear hunting? Or was it just, that was the moment, and you said, I gotta end this?
Oh, when I first saw it, it's kind of like a black and white movie when you don't really realize you're in it. It was maybe, I don't know, I would guess 1 to 3 seconds of understanding that it was coming at me. And I did everything I'm supposed to, you know, and it veered off at the last second on the first push. And the second time it came back, it didn't end well.
Do you have to report that to, like, a ranger or anything?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I think we might have a bad connection on that one.
I know I'm understanding the secrecy of what was going on.
I need to turn the dial on the focus. They're getting a little static there.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. We can't hear you very well.
So to answer your question, yes, you're supposed to, but no, he did not.
Okay.
Do you still travel to Southeast Asia?
I mean, look, man.
What was this bear's name? Roger?
No, I mean.
Oh, no.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to kill a bear, but if I have a gun and the bear is going to try to eat me, yes, I'm going to shoot this bear.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Although I've heard, depending where you shoot him or just whatever the angle is, but there's been stories where I got like, fired a gun at the bear, and the bullet ricocheted off of its skull.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up killing it, but he's like, dude, the first shot, like, you could see the bullet ricochet off and, like, hit a tree, and it's like, and the bear's still just coming at you.
Or you better have the right caliber weapon.
That goes a long
way. Right, like, up in Alaska, like, you know, you can't, you need a firearm if you're out in the wilderness, but, like, a Glock 9 isn't going to help you.
Oh, my
father's like, a 45 or something.
I think my father always had the best thing. He goes, like, look, man. I don't care the animal. It doesn't matter the animal. You can tell me any gun you want. He goes, man, hands down, the one thing that's always going to work, a flamethrower. He's like, there's not an animal on this earth that loves being on fire. Right. So he goes, look, you can give me any gun you want. He goes, that flamethrower is going to work 100% of the time.
Couple of those trains, not personal experience, but I've seen what a train can do at slow speeds to a person.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was carrying pizzas and then became one. A sawzall is an amazing tool for many things, but it's also a high-speed stabbing laceration device that has zero machine guards. We always talk about the mandolin, just in your kitchen, if you have one of those.
What a dangerous idea that is,
even if you have a mesh glove or whatever the deal
is. They give you a chainmail glove, and if you use the glove, you will absolutely be fine. The problem is a lot of people don't use it because there's also a guard.
Mm-hmm.
So people think that if I'm using the guard, my hand won't hit the blade. It will, and it sucks. It's one of the worst kitchen injuries you can have.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? Lending anyone money. Friends, family members, it does not matter. Just warning you there.
Here's the thing. The saying I've always followed is, you can lend friends money, but you have to be able to know that it's not coming back.
Yeah.
If they pay you back, that's a good thing. But generally, if somebody's hitting you up for a personal loan, something has gone bad, and
they're not in position probably to pay you back.
Correct. I had a buddy that was going through a tough time, and then after the second time, I said, no. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, we'll still be friends, but I'm not giving you another dime because I don't think you're going to get a job and pay me back.
Right. And that's the thing.
Did he ever get a job?
He has never paid me back. He has apologized once, and I said, we're still friends. You know what you could do? Don't ever bring it up to me again.
Right.
Because I have kind of forgotten about it.
Okay. That's totally fair.
To me, I've never loaned anyone money, but I have given people money.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole thing. You can call it a loan, and I understand that's the way to approach it. Hey, man, can I get a loan? But in my mind, I'm like, I can give you cash. I have no expectation of this coming back.
Absinthe. Woke up naked in a bush during the winter with my clothes neatly piled up beside me. I'm warning you. The New Orleans Police Department. What do you know not to F with? Was another person's comment.
Don't. Do not. They're bad, man. I mean, like, they wear their corruption on their sleeve, and their whole position is, what are you going to do about it? And the answer to that is nothing.
Right.
Just don't mess with them.
People who like drama, they're in an endless cycle of BS. They rarely have lives, and they complain about everything and everything and everyone. Instead of just walking away from the situation, they never seem to understand they're choosing to put themselves in these situations in the first place.
Man. And they will also preface everything with, like, I hate drama.
Like, they'll always say, hey, drama. I know someone who will remain nameless for this particular story, but as I said to my wife, I said, my issue with this person is there's drama every day, but it's not their drama, but they always insert themselves into a situation, and they always make that situation worse. I don't like to be around them for that reason, right? So you and Ted could have an issue, whatever. Somehow this person will find their way into your situation and then make it worse for both of you guys.
Yes.
Then they're involved. Then I have to hear about it. I'm like, This has nothing to do with me, and it had nothing to do with you. Why do you do this?
Yeah, especially when people are going through, they say a situation, and whenever someone else is going through marital problems, if you want to be an ear for someone, that is one thing, but don't ingest yourself or don't inject yourself into the situation.
And don't comment on what that person looks like. I did that once. I did not. This guy, on again, off again, whatever. Been for years in one of those hot and cold relationships. Anyway, I had understood that they had broken up. Because only 3 days before that, this guy's boo-hooing on my shoulder about it. No big deal. We go to the bar. Now there's a couple of us together. I did not know the most current development. So just to kind of crack a joke, I said, look, ma'am, yeah, she was nice. I'm sure the sex was great. But you never have to look at those big-ass gums and her little-ass teeth again. And then there's this silence. And then that silence, all I can hear is, they got back together. And I'm like, Good.
Also,
but she did have big gums and little teeth.
Old school guy code, never date anyone that your friends have gone out with. If you want to remain friends with them, you do not,
you must marry them.
Well, you don't know anything about their situation.
Or ask them.
Yeah,
you can always do that.
Especially if it's been, you know, just
and
for
the they moved on, you know, they have a new boyfriend, girlfriend now, whatever the deal is. Yeah, that's one thing. But just because someone broke up does not mean that person, if you want to remain friends with that person, because people do typically go through their thing at the end a few times before it's officially over sometimes. It's not just like a cut and dry thing like you is. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes it is not.
Also, be careful as a guy. Oftentimes, if there's a girl that's dating one of your buddies, you all get along. Don't sleep with her after she breaks up with him.
No.
She's just doing it to get you to get him mad.
Right.
And it's like,
and it'll work.
Yeah. And sometimes they're very attractive and you really want to have sex with them, but you don't.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
How many times has that happened to you, Seth?
Just one specific one
just
I'm
one,
thinking
but
of.
Just like, listen, man, you are...
You gotta go.
Yeah, you can't...
You shouldn't even be here.
You can't be here, man. Now, look, I'll think about you when I'm masturbating later tonight, but we can't actually do it.
I'm going to take a long, cold shower. Just please leave this bar.
That is a crappy situation. Like, really? This is okay. Right. Don't do this to me.
And then, yeah.
That's where my buddy Tony, man. Every chick he dated was a 10, right? I don't know what he does, but that's what he pulled. His current wife now, smoke show, right? But every chick he dated up until then, also a smoke show. But like anything, he breaks up with them, and we're just like, dude, you got to stop, or you got to date uglier chicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but the worst part was, so he'd break up with the chick, and none of us, we wouldn't touch her, but you have regulars at the bars that we kind of frequented, and you'd find out, like, Fred over there just plugged your ex-girlfriend, man. Fred's like, I'm not friends with him. I just know him. I'm like, no, it's not that, man. Fred, what I'm saying is, you're lucky.
That's right.
Because she was hot.
Couple dealing with water. Waterfalls. Watched the kid nearly die because he was effing around on wet rocks. Watched this kid slide down about 40 to 50 feet while screaming for help. And watched him as he went over the waterfall and hit the bottom. Still can't believe he only shattered his femur.
Not exactly a waterfall, but I remember floating the river with my now brother-in-law. Wear your doggone life jackets when you do that.
Yep.
Because we were, you know, I'm a great swimmer. I was a lifeguard. I got no problems with swimming. We were out there on our inner tubes floating down there. My brother-in-law, we were on the same one. We're coming up. There's this big old log that's kind of overhanging. It's not touching the water, but it's not high enough to where we can actually go under it.
Sure.
And we're floating right to this thing. And so now I've got this brilliant idea. It's like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go feet first into this thing. You and I, Dan, we're going to put our feet up against this log, and then we're just going to walk our way off, right? Well, the thing is that while we might have stopped, the water coming behind us hasn't. And so when we put our legs up there, that water pushed our inner tube upside down, and it flipped us. Now, spinning all over the place, and I got up, and I lost sight of my brother-in-law. I thought for sure I had killed him, because he was down for a good, 15, 20 seconds.
Now,
dude,
is that when your fear of that struck? Because we're talking about the movie, what? The Gray?
That's always kind of been there. My fear of drowning.
Okay, then how much more terror? It's one thing to not have that fear, go through the situation and earn the fear, versus I've always had this fear. Now you're in it.
I imagine
your worst case scenario is now happening.
I imagined it myself in his shoes several times, and he was totally fine. He was just clinging to the inner tube, and he was fine.
Yeah.
But I imagined him not being okay, and that freaked the living.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. The hell out of me for sure.
Speaking of and being a lifeguard. Just one reminder, never go chasing waterfalls.
No,
don't go. Ted.
Yeah.
I'm a swim instructor and lifeguard. I've seen the best swimmers get cramps and need to be rescued. And I've seen instructors turn their backs on students who go underwater. Only go in if you have someone with you or a lifeguard nearby. Do not go boating drunk. I've had friends whose families died due to that. Fresh snow. Forget about spitting to see which way to dig if you get thrown. If you've been buried, you better have an avalanche beacon. You won't be able to move. Couple more. Electric bush pruners. Those mothers nearly sliced my fingers off. Had it not been for the guard, I'd let people know that S now. Motorbikes. I'm a healthcare assistant, work in ER. I struggle to understand how anyone actually decides to get on one of those things. And finally, people with face tattoos. Those MFers don't care about going to prison, not one bit. Coming up, the return of Ted versus the FCC, and we've got your emails on the way next in the men's room at KISW.com.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.